Welcome to day 139 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and we're in the 10th commandment now. And we'll be following both the shorter and larger catechisms together because they're pretty much identical. The larger catechism adds maybe 5 extra verses as proof texts, but pretty much very similar. Shorter catechism question 79 and larger catechism question 146 both ask, which is the 10th commandment? The answer, of course, the 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's, Exodus 20:17. As with the commandments, the catechisms both divide our responsibilities into the requirements, the duties required, and the sins forbidden. So we'll look at Westminster Shorter Catechism question 80 and Westminster Larger Catechism question 179. The Shorter Catechism, what is required in the 10th commandment? The Larger Catechism, what are the duties required in the 10th commandment? The Shorter Catechism says, the 10th commandment requireth full contentment with our own condition, with a right and charitable frame of spirit toward our neighbor and all that is his. The Larger Catechism says, the duties required in the 10th commandment are such a full contentment with our condition and such a charitable frame of the whole soul toward our neighbor, as that all our inward motions and affections touching him tend unto and further all that good which is his. Okay, on the first phrase, that the 10th commandment requires a full contentment with our own condition, both catechisms cite Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Then on the second phrase, regarding a right and charitable frame of spirit toward our neighbor and all that is his, both catechisms start with Job 31:29. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, as Job says in verse 28, this also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment. Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. The larger catechism adds Psalm 122, verses 7 through 9. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord God, I will seek thy good. Then both catechisms have 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment, or the goal of the commandment, is charity, or love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. The larger catechism has Esther 10:3. For Mordecai, the Jew, was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. Then both catechisms have 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7. Charity, or love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, if you're observant and you're comparing the two catechisms, you'll notice that each catechism in some small ways italicizes different portions of the proof texts. And I'm going to try to find out someday who was in charge of italicizing the particular edition that we have of the proof texts, and why it is they sometimes, even when they're quoting the same passage, sometimes italicize them differently. Okay, Westminster Shorter Catechism question 81, what is forbidden in the 10th commandment? Larger Catechism question 148, what are the sins forbidden in the 10th commandment? And again, the answers are fairly similar. First, the Shorter Catechism says, the 10th commandment forbiddeth all discontentment with our own estate, envying or grieving at the good of our neighbor, and all inordinate motions and affections to anything that is his. The larger catechism, I believe, is almost identical. The sins forbidden in the Tenth Commandment are discontentment with our own estate, envying, the larger catechism here has a separate footnote for envying, and grieving at the good of our neighbor, together with all inordinate motions and affections to anything that is his. So, almost identical. The first phrase, that the Tenth Commandment forbiddeth all discontentment with our own estate. Both catechisms cite the same texts, starting with 1 Kings 21:4. Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word of Naboth, which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down in his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. And if you recall the story, he wanted to seize Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth said he wouldn't give it to him. Eventually, Jezebel had him killed. But here, Ahab throws a hissy fit because he wants Naboth's vineyard. Esther 5:13, yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Now he's discontented with his estate and also grieving at the good of his neighbor. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Okay, the next phrase is envying or grieving at the good of our neighbor. The larger catechism has envying given a footnote, but it's actually the same verses that are contained in the shorter catechism, which puts the footnote at the end of the phrase, grieving at the good of our neighbor. And those two references are first Galatians 5:26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And James 3:14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. The larger catechism has a footnote for grieving at the good of our neighbor and cites Psalm 112, verses 9 and 10. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Then Nehemiah 2:10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Then the larger catechism says, as does the shorter catechism, that we are not to have this discontentment, envying and grieving. The Tenth Commandment also forbids all inordinate motions and affections toward anything that is his. The shorter catechism and the larger catechism both have these first two passages from Romans 7:7-8. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. And Romans 13:9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, to fulfill Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you need to obey all of the other commandments. And then the larger catechism adds, Colossians 3:5, mortify, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then finally, the shorter and larger catechism both have Deuteronomy 5:21. Neither shalt thou desire not thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. If you remember that the word Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. After the first generation was destroyed in the wilderness, the law was repeated for the benefit of the generation that was going into the promised land. A second giving of the law, Deuteronomy. And this is the first time I can recall that the second giving of the law was quoted as a proof text in one of these Ten Commandments. In other words, we've had Ten Commandments, and for each of the first nine, there was an opportunity for the Westminster Assembly to put in the proof texts the second giving of that commandment. The first, the second, the third, and so forth. But this is the first time I recall, I may be wrong, but here we have the second giving of the law, in this case the Tenth Commandment, separately cited. So that's interesting that they didn't quote the second giving of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5 with each and every one of the Ten Commandments. Well, that pretty much does it for the Tenth Commandment. We've looked at both the duties required and the sins forbidden in one lesson. And so tomorrow we'll have some concluding words on the law, and then we'll move into the exposition of the Lord's Prayer and some, I think, really great insights on prayer. And that'll be coming up on day 149. I'm sorry, 140.